The John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show.
I mean, second thoughts about diving in since Dory. No way. Diving in again. All right. By the way, Aaron's going to be coming on the big show, I think, next week, commiserating with my son, Rye. Going to try to get Bones, that's Jay Buhner, to come on as well. The three of them are going to all sit around like sad sacks and talk about the Mariners, what the Mariners can possibly do to turn the season around. All right. Aaron has already agreed. Rye's looking forward to it. So, that's coming up, I think, next week. For anybody that's watched the Mariners, probably most likely get devastated by Houston, and then it's going to just be a very sad, long weekend.
We're all fortunate that Aaron turns his mic off while he moans as he looks at the TV in the studio on every day, basically.
But what I love about Aaron as a Mariners fan, he's like, yeah, I can't give up on those guys. I just can't give up on those guys. I just can't. I can't. So as a new dad, he's, you know, there will be many disappointments, and you never give up on your kid. So he's just a long-suffering Mariners fan. Seattle population, maybe that's why some of these people are moving out. We just talked about that, we had a drop. What was it, 0.6% or something like that of the number of people? This is the first time in a long time since they've been keeping track of this that we had more people moving out than moving in.
Right. The Census Bureau from July 1 of 20 to July 1 of 2021, Seattle lost 4,300 residents. That's a decline of 0.6%.
Mm-hmm. I saw this piece in the GeekWire. 67% of Seattle residents have considered moving out of the city in a new survey, and they give the reasons as to why. 70% said that Seattle is on the wrong track, 81% indicating the quality of life is worse today than it was 4 years ago, and those that considered moving out, 35% of them say it's because of living and housing costs, 29% public safety, 12% cite homelessness, 9% said government and politics. So you have an exodus. Eventually you get to a certain point where you're living in a city. If it just becomes too hard, too expensive, there's low quality of life because your car keeps getting broken into, and then you're just like, I'm done. And you're going to leave. And it's one of these also weird things that your friends leave, or one person leaves that you know, and then you start to think, I'm going to get at it. Yeah, you know what? Let's move. And if you can go somewhere, you do go somewhere, especially if you're able to, you know, work remotely or just go over to Bellevue or just someplace that you feel, you know, that you can have a better quality of life because you don't have to worry about all the, you know, the decay of what now has become part of Seattle's landscape.
The population is still high. It's 734,000 people. It's the 18th most populous city in the country. And some other cities also lost some population. Portland, Denver, Boston, San Francisco, and New York, had the biggest loss of 305,000 people.
You seem pretty upset about that. Is there a reason? It seemed to have struck a nerve there. You okay, Sherry?
Sorry, I was a little choked up. You know how I love New York. Please come back. Please come back.
I love New York. I love New York.
It's right. Not fair. But a lot of cities had some gains. Redmond, Linwood. Losses were Seattle, Bellevue, and Federal Way. Those had the biggest losses in population.
Yeah, I saw a cool article talking about how Linwood's going to get ready for it. They say, oh, we get this light rail is going to come in here. How are we going to do this? How are we going to expand? What's Linwood going to look like? It's going to be this big metropolis there in Linwood. It is true that you can drive all the way across Linwood without ever leaving a parking lot. FB from Linwood.
Wait, what?
That joke.
Do that again? What?
It's crazy out there like it. Andrew, a rim shot when I let you know. Okay. Hey, I'll do a comedy. Guys, ever been to Linwood? Linwood's crazy. What a crazy town Linwood is. It's so, I mean, all those, you know, get all those stores and, I mean, everywhere you go, you know, there's Best Buy and everything else. You know, you can drive all the way across Linwood without ever actually leaving a parking lot. Hang on. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. All right. It's a Linwood joke. Ray Liotta passes away. Ray Liotta, that 67-year-old actor. You and I have both had the great pleasure of spending time with him. Down to earth, crazy, fun guy. You're talking to him. He's just like, he's not at all like any of the scenes or any of the characters that he plays. He's got the New York accent, and you keep trying to get him to like turn into one of those actors or something. I got him, parked the car, and we drove, we walked down over to a place called Monorail Espresso, which used to be, I guess, up Fifth and down this little, on this one side street up there near, past the Fifth Avenue Theater, right in that area. I can't remember exactly. I used to take all celebrities that would, were unfortunate enough to have to be on Evening Magazine. I would take them there and they had a little Polaroid camera and they would take a picture of the celebrity and put them up on their little glass wall there at this outside. It's the first espresso stand, the Monorail Espresso stand. And Ray was so flattered to be on the wall, legitimately. He's like, oh, wow, look at these guys. Oh, my, hey, who's that? Is that Anthony Hopkins? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, my, this is great. Look at this. Oh, whoa, where are you going to put me? And they're, like, trying to find a place. They got to, like, pull somebody else down and put, no, 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 don't take him down. No, no, no. And it was like, Ray, you deserve a good spot on the wall. So he was an outstanding actor and dies at the age of 67. In his sleep. There's some sort of something whenever they say in their sleep, it's always like, that's nice. But this probably, there's probably no one here, like a tree falling in the woods. There was no one here to hear Ray, you know, grasping for air or grabbing his chest. I'm just assuming. When people say you die in their sleep, do you really just go?
They don't know yet. He was working on a movie called Dangerous Waters in the Dominican Republic. He was with his fiance.
It's a long title. What's the title again?
Dangerous Waters.
In the Dominican Republic.
He was in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay, okay.
The name of the movie was Dangerous Waters. Dangerous Waters in the Dominican Republic by starring Ray Liotta. And they don't have a cause of death, but, you know, I assume his fiance was probably with him. When they say you die in your sleep, I think that means you don't wake up.
Well, that's how most people end up dying.
No, I mean, I don't think there's clutching and, you know, I think then if that's were the case, you didn't die in your sleep. I think when you die in your sleep, that means you die while asleep. That would be my interpretation. I want to believe that he didn't suffer. I really liked him. I thought he was a great guy and a great actor.
Okay. All right. So what actor is on your list of people you'd like to see suffer before dying? Do you have that list handy? You reach over.
I'd have to think about that for a minute. I'm sure there's a few.
Well, while we were playing this cut from Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
See, I was cooking dinner that night. I had to start braising the beef, pork butt, and veal shanks for the tomato sauce.
And tomatoes. I'm going to make them all. I'm going to make all this meat.
It was Michael's favorite. I was making ziti with the meat gravy, and I'm planning to roast some peppers over the flames, and I was going to put on some string beans with some olive oil and garlic, and I had some beautiful cutlets that were cut just right that I was going to fry up before dinner just as an appetizer. Right, so I was home for about...
Is this from his cooking show or is this from Goodfellas?
Goodfellas, yeah. Okay. There's more food in that movie than I remember.
About an hour. Now, my plan was to start the dinner early so Karen and I could unload the guns that Jimmy didn't want and then get the package for Lois to take to Atlanta for her trip later that night.
Who's been carving their initials in the tomato?
No, I kept looking out the window and I saw that the helicopter was gone.
Michael, keep an eye on the sauce, all right? Stay here with your Uncle Michael, all right?
Yeah, a lot of food in there. And then Joe Pesci comes in and hits him over the head with a baseball bat because you think I'm funny, like a clown funny?
Mm-hmm.
And
then he such a great scene. I love that movie.
What did you love about that movie? It was unbelievably violent.
I know, but it was so great. I loved all the mob movies. I really did. I love The Sopranos. I thought all that stuff was great.
Yeah. It's something about it when you meet a regular New Yorker. Like I met these guys last August, and they were in the garbage business, and they all have accents like that. They're like, you know, what are you doing? And immediately you think, I'm like in a mob movie. But no, you're standing there talking to four guys that just happen to have New York accents.
Right.
But then when you ask them about it, so they're like, how involves the mob? They don't say anything, but you know what that means, right?
When they go, like that? What does that mean?
I don't know, but when I drove that truck in New York for a guy named, it was Lambie Trucking, and I said to Mr. Lumbo, whose real name is Lumbo, I said, why do you call it Lambie? Your name's Lumbo. Yeah, Lumbo sounds, you know, like mob. I was like, yeah, it does. And he goes, so that's why it's Lambie. Any questions? I'm like, no, I'm good. And then the follow-up would be, you're not like in the mob, are you?
Uh-huh. I'd leave that one alone.
Then he goes, I got some concrete shoes I'd like you to try on. You know, one of those things. That's where the tragic medium Petey died. All right. Ray gone.
Yeah.
Weren't you surprised by the amount, how bad his skin was?
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is the one I'd want to suffer and die.
Wow. Really?
Whoa.
Shoo. Yes, like, there's so many that have, like, I don't know, actors that have committed actual crimes. Kevin Spacey just got charged with some stuff, and Nicolas Cage is at the top of your list, Jerry.
Yeah, I can't stand
suffer
it.
And die?
Well,
how long
you
want to suffer for?
No,
I know, but I didn't
think
you'd answer. It was a ridiculous question.
Okay. I take it back. Never mind. I hope he's happy and healthy.
Not really.
And yes, Ray Liotta did have bad skin. Really bad skin.
You could light a blue tip kitchen match off the side of his face. Oh,
really
like a
bad.
Topographical map of Peru. I was surprised. I'm looking at it. I'm like, oof. Well, you think that, like, if you had skin like that, they'd be like, Ray, I don't think you should be an actor. Like, somebody would have stopped him along the way. But he just kept pounding away, even though he, oof. Wow.
Yeah, but it added to his character. Like, he said that in the couple of articles that I've read about him since he died, he really fought being typecast as a crazy guy. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be just this, you know, angry, crazy, weird guy. He wanted to be, you know, have some depth to his acting and everything. He was in Field of Dreams. So I think your favorite.
I forgot.
I'm Nicolas Cage, and I approve this message.
Oh, by the way,
Thank you.
He's still healthy. By the way, when you interviewed him, did you have a sense like, I could be friends with this guy? And then do you dare cross over the line and say, hey, let me give you my phone number, or we should get together for a drink or something like that? Did you have that sense when you were talking to Ray? Because that's how I felt.
He was so soft-spoken and nice. He was such a nice guy. As I was telling you guys before, he's only been married once, so I thought he was married a couple of times, but he had just married his wife, and he was so sweet about and so excited about being married to this woman, and just went on and on about how great she was and how much he admired her and loved her. And yeah, I mean, he was just a regular guy.
Apparently, he was with his fiance or something working on that movie with the long title, so apparently, as sweet as that she was, that he went on to someone else.
Well,
right,
you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. But he would be the kind of guy that you didn't put on airs, that you thought you could hang out with for sure.
Have you ever crossed over that line? I mean, not in a weird, like, you know, all handsy thing that you do, but like just generally, like, I think this celebrity, I'm going to become friends with this person, even though they're way up here and you're way, 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 way down here.
I can't think of anybody in particular that's happened with.
I feel like it was Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah,
that
was
close
Nick.
To him, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
I do.
We had a really bad breakup, that's why. So I, you know, it's kind of not. Don't really want to talk about it. You know, it was ugly. I don't think so. Because, you know, when you work and you do these interviews and everything, it's fleeting. You know, they're on a thing. So you don't really get to spend a lot of time with them. The only person that I spent some time with was Margaret Cho. After the show, she wanted to go to this museum that was in DC of like oddities, like medical oddities. She really wanted to go to this. So we took her to this medical oddities museum. We hung out and had lunch. She was great. She's really sweet, really nice. But that was the end of it.
Well, you're walking around the museum looking at like weird things in jars. That's not right. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, it was a little bonding experience. I mean, when you're looking at like a severed foot or something like that. But yeah, that's the closest I've come to like, you know, doing something off time or my own time with somebody. How about you?
I can see with Margaret. Margaret, over here, look at the two-headed goat. Malcolm Jerome Warner, is that his name?
From Cosby
Show.
Yeah.
I've told Jacob this sad story because I never normally, you know, I don't fall for it. But he's like, dude, I'm going to be in town for 2 days. We got to hang out. I'm like, really? Yeah, seriously, man. I'm doing you guys today. And then I got another interview. And then I'm just hanging out for 2 days. We got to hang out. And I'm like, wow, Malcolm Jerome Warner wants to hang out with me.
Did you call him by the right name, at least?
I just kept Cosby Kid. And he goes, seriously, man, give me your phone number. Give me your digits, whatever he said. And I said, all right, yeah, sure, I'm going to visit you. All right. Because I think, because you normally so feel weird, like, oh, I guess it's going to become my friend. So I wrote my phone number down on a piece of paper, and he, cool, man, cool. And I handed it to him, and I remember he put it forward on where the makeup table was, the woman was doing, going to put makeup on him, and he put it there. And then after the show, I was all kind of giddy, like, oh, I'm friends with
Malcolm Jamal Warner to help
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. And I go to say to the makeup artist, Linda, I said, how about that? Malcolm, was it again, Jacob?
Jamal Warner.
Yeah, he's my friend. I'm going to go hang out with him. She goes, oh, that's nice. And I look over, and there next to the makeup brushes is my card with my number on it. Linda, did he get a pen and write it down on another piece of paper? Maybe a bigger piece of paper where he could write my new buddy?
Wah, wah. Boy. That's terrible. Oh, bless your heart.
I'm so stupid. But
did you take the card? Did you just like palm the card then so they wouldn't know?
Looked at it. I slowly tore it up into bits. I used it to dab my tears. Oh, my God. So dumb. Oh, where's Nicolas Cage when you need him?
There we go. Keel Mortgage. That's right. Keel Mortgage. Everybody there. Keel, can't wait to hear from you. Refinance that house of yours and get in touch with the good people at Keel. Thank you very much for the hard work you're doing on the one I've applied for. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIE. I apologize. It's a long, long night here at the Curly Cabin. I awoke into the sound of scratching again, guys, and I came out. I have a trap set, little trap, and the three mice, which is now disgusting because now that's like an infestation because a writer, somebody listened and said, if you got one, that means you got 50. And then he went on to explain the gestation period of how long women, mom rats carry babies or mice. They're mice. I come out at night and I shine a flashlight. There are four of them sitting around the trap, eating the peanut butter off the trap, like they're at Benihana's.
Gross.
Gross.
And in your place, it's so small that four mice minus like 400 mice.
Yeah. I did the math on the square footage. It actually equals three football fields of mice. But to be mocking me in such a way, to be eating the peanut butter off of the trap, I guess they're all taking turns like, okay, now your turn there, Stevie, or whatever.
Yeah.
It never went off. I'm gonna not get them. It's classic.
They are clearly they're domesticated, so they're kind of doing the workaround with the trap. But you were there. You saw them, right? Could you have, like, done – what did you do? Did you shoo them?
I screamed like a girl.
Could you have sent the dogs over to get them or something? I mean, the dogs don't like mice.
It's up on top of a counter.
Oh, on the counter.
Dogs don't care.
So now you can't really sleep because you're worried they're going to crawl on top of you.
I can hear them. They're doing the weird scratchy sounds, and now they're toying with me.
Yeah, and they're going to be baby. There's going to be babies. You know, one of them's a woman that's pregnant.
And then they got into my CoQ10 Plus and were eating my vitamins. And I took out and it was half chewed.
There's your answer. They're becoming super mice. I mean, you should see they're going to bench press that trap.
They're halfway through the vitamin E. Oh my God, they're into the horny goat.
Pretty soon they're going to be lifting the bed up, just crawling under there.
I'm going to get them tonight because I've got a certain set of skills. All right, let's get to the fact that this is going to be a rather painful weekend for a lot of people that do want to go away. Long summer weekend has rarely been this hard to pull off. I guess that's the price of gas. And what's the other problem for people, according to the Wall Street Journal?
According to the Wall Street Journal, the problem, well, there are several problems. One of them is air travel. So many airlines are canceling flights, and it tells many stories of people that needed to go to a wedding, or they had to go to a baby shower, or they had to get back on a Monday for work, and their flights were canceled, delayed. They really, the airlines have become somewhat unreliable because of the pilot shortage and just because of the fact that, you know, there's been a number of other things that have happened in the airline industry to keep them from really being able to be at, you know, full capacity. So that's part of the problem. Rental car prices are way up.
Ridiculous.
And from New York and Boston, if you wanted to rent a car, say around mid-June, $175 a day for that.
Yeah.
And gas prices, of course. Room rates in Miami, they used to be about $257. Now they're way up to $326. So they're saying that for longer term travel, when you have a little bit of wiggle room, let's say, or you can stay a little bit longer, it might be worth it to wait and do that as opposed to trying to cram so much money into 2 or 3 days. It's just not worth it because you're going to spend a lot and you risk not being able to get back or having all kinds of delays because of the amount of people traveling on those holiday weekends.
May I recommend coming to the Memorial Day parade on Saturday in Easton? Won't cost you a thing. There's really only one store to buy something at the general store there. And come on, everybody. The parade's about 3 blocks long, and I'm emceeing it, which I don't know how you emcee a parade, because I just assume there's probably speakers just in a small area, and then people outside of earshot would not hear anything I was saying. So you're basically emceeing for just the people right there. As I guess it's passing. I don't even know there's a reviewing stand. I told you I got in this parade accidentally last year when I made a left-hand turn in my old car. People are like, hey, there's John Curley. Hey, must be the parade starting. And then I'm yelling, I'm not the parade. I'm not. This is not the beginning of the parade. But now I've been promoted from the imposter in the parade to the MC of the parade, Sherry. So that would be a cost-saving and fun event tomorrow, Saturday, most likely in the rain in Easton at the 3-block-long or 4-block-long Memorial Day parade.
Have you gotten your list of floats and participants yet so you can start to do a little research and add a little color about, you know, well, so-and-so developed this back in 1956 when the Easton sugarcane something, you know, have you done any of that yet?
They do all that sort of stuff. No, I haven't gotten anything. In fact, the lady that asked me, I haven't seen her since. I have her business card somewhere around here. So I'm going in totally cold. I did one of these parades a long time ago in the University District for, it was a Seafair parade. And I made some crack because there was a motorcycle drill team and they were doing these tight circles. And I said, now they're forming circles. Actually, they're forming donuts. Yeah, stupid cop donut joke, right? Well, one of the cops heard it and then they decided they were going to act like they were outraged. And John Bernasconi, who became a friend of mine, called the station and demanded that I apologize to all the police. And I didn't even know that he was kind of just doing it as a joke, but he was so serious. He acted like he was serious about it. And I was, okay, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make a donut joke. And then it became this ongoing thing that he wanted more of an apology and the police were going to be upset. And then when I ran the marathon that year, Bernasconi stopped me at mile like 11 and held me there for a little while. And then he radio ahead to another motorcycle cop that Curley was coming up. And then they stopped me and talked to me for a little while. They slowed me down like at every couple of miles, just as an ongoing joke. But I'll try not to offend anybody on Saturday in Easton. Are you coming to it, Sherry? It would really mean a lot to the listeners.
Well, for some reason, I got invited and then disinvited. Like I was going to wear the costume and then nothing ever happened. So
that's on Jacob. That's on Jacob. Jacob, where's the organization here?
I guess,
come up with these ideas and there's no follow through. I got you the costume, the great big clown costume, right?
Yeah, and I was ready to do it. And then I just figured you thought my hands were too big to fit in the suit and you just didn't want to do it. So I gave up on it.
The tailor refused to believe that a woman's hands could be that large and wouldn't work with us.
Jacob gets a rim shot on comments about Sherry's hands?
Everybody gets one.
It's just that blanket thing.
Let's just try it out. Hey, Mickey.
Yeah.
You got to give Sherry a hand, don't you? All right. All right, here we go. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. at 1-888-973-5476. Okay. Well, I've given up my badge of honor, Sherry. The toilet is going to be installed later today. So come on out and you can stay here like Brandy Cruz and Nicole Thompson. They all stay here. So come on out to the cabin. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited. So this is a lot of progress there in Cleellum. Have you put up a little sign?
Cleellum. Yeah, the whole town is talking about.
Yeah, I mean, are they all coming by to take a gander at the new plumbing? I mean, this is a
gander.
A big deal
is that
for
your
you.
Way of saying relieving their bladders? Gander. Take a gander? That's some new kind of hip term for voiding your bowels. Seattle residents have decided they're going to take matters into their own hands and paint their own crosswalk because it was dangerous and you're not allowed to do that. So they went out there and they – is it a legal crosswalk, but the paint had sort of chipped away? Is that what happened?
I don't think it was legal. They've asked to have this crosswalk walk at 83rd and Greenwood for some time, and nobody seemed to do anything. So somebody took it upon themselves about 8 months ago, they think. They're not really clear because nobody's admitting who did it when this appeared. But it was a large, evenly spaced white blocks is how they describe how it looks. So it didn't look like a normal crosswalk. City came in earlier this month, scraped it all off, says that they are going to be putting a crosswalk in. But the people that live around there are saying, we've been waiting forever for this. And they don't want to have to wait any longer. They say it's impatience. That's why they did it. It's a form of activism, and they call it tactical urbanism.
It could do it like a hopscotch thing. I mean, make it kind of fun where you throw the stone and then hopscotch to the next one and pick up the stone. Remember that? Do you ever play that game?
Oh, yeah. I loved hopscotch.
That,
yeah.
That game has, let's see, around the horn. Jacob, a game of hopscotch last time you played.
Oh, I remember the house I was in, and it was when I was below the age of 10, so it would be at least 20 years.
Fine. Okay. Stop bragging about how young you are. Andrew, hopscotch?
I think I was six when I played it last. I don't remember, but I have played it before.
Okay, I thought it might be one of those games that had fallen through the cracks. It is very hard because these things, stop signs and crosswalks and painting and road things, that's all federally controlled. I remember when I was on the council there, city council of Sammamish, I said, well, just move the stop sign because the people are complaining about something. And, And then they showed me this thing. It is really technical. Has to pass all these rules about where the stuff is. Same thing with crosswalks. It's all uniform. It has to be the exact same size. It has to be the same color and all that other stuff. So you can't just get in there and just willy-nilly. And I guess the city is not attending to it. I don't even know it's a legal crosswalk, but they get in there and scrape it off, right?
Yeah, I mean, the residents are saying this is a dangerous area. We want to make sure that people are going to slow down and adhere to people in the crosswalk. And if you're not going to paint one, we're going to do it ourselves. And the city's saying it doesn't work that way. Sorry, we're working on it. We're going to put one in. They say they've been hearing that now forever, and it just doesn't happen.
So there's a couple of processes you can do. You can call the city and you can ask them to tube it, which means they put down these rubber tubes that then count how many cars come across. They'll also get you the speed of the cars coming across. And then at that point, the city has a couple of options. It can mitigate by slowing things down by putting calming devices in place, meaning making the road a little more narrow or putting these things you got to kind of go around. Or if the next step is if they don't do that, that's which is really a pain for everybody, speed bumps are the next thing. How about me knowing all this nonsense? And a speed bump costs about $35,000 to put these things in place, but people don't like speed bumps because people slow down over the speed bump, but then they accelerate once they get over the speed bump, so then the people who live nearby don't like the sound of the acceleration. So they have to get the data to see how many people are driving, how many people are crossing, then they get all that stuff, and if it falls within the range, then they say, okay, well, that is a crosswalk that needs to be attended, and there's a whole process that you have to go through.
Just and the city out pointed
there with a out, can of paint. I like the guy out there, can of paint, just did it.
They also said, you know, the paint that they used wasn't reflective. That's one thing. They had no stop signs. There's no notice to drivers. So it's not safe that what they put up there, even though it's well intended, it's not really it's certainly not up to the standards that are needed for a real legitimate crosswalk.
Right. There was a time, I remember saw some study, I was trying to find the numbers on it, that more people were killed in crosswalks because they thought they were safer in a crosswalk. They would just sort of step out rather than some other place where they're like kind of running across like a bunny. You step out in a crosswalk. Well, I'm safe because I'm here in the crosswalk. It happened right out in front of Cairo. Do you remember that, Jacob?
So,
one of our producers on air, I can't remember his name, got hit by a car right out there at that crosswalk.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, no, he still posts about it. It was a terrible situation. You know, he recovered fully, but he's still got some some problems with it. It's awful.
Trevor was hit in a crosswalk when he got hit by a car.
Okay, well, we're not talking about Trevor right now.
I'm just saying we all can relate to how important they are and how dangerous they can be.
No, it's pretty obvious. Trevor's out with the dogs. I know. Did he have the dogs in the stroller at the time?
No, Bella didn't have a stroller at that time. She was on on her regular legs, not the wheels. she was using the dog legs.
Trevor is such a hard-ass guy. I can't believe he pushes a stroller around with two dogs in it.
He is a different person around those dogs. He is the sweetest, most kind, loving human on the planet when it comes to his dogs. I mean,
amazing to watch. People must give him a hard time. They see this man that looks like he's chiseled out of granite pushing a stroller with two dogs in it like he had lost a bet or something.
But would you mess around with Trevor? Would you give him a hard time?
No.
All right, there you go. He can get away with it.
I'd be like... Wow, good for you, dogs in stroller.
Yeah.
That was a good laugh. I needed it.
All right, Mickey. By the way, Mickey, thinking of you, I'll just say that. Thinking of you, we had people that wrote in yesterday. I wish I could give Mickey a great big hug.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
So if you run into a woman that's out on the street running up to you with her arms out,
I'll accept it.
It's up to you. Well, yeah, okay. Whatever you want to do at that point. All right.
All right.
Traffic.